gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we gain some shrewdness and live into your new day. In Jesus' name, amen. A parable of the dishonest manager or unrighteous steward has been a challenge to us throughout the centuries. We like honesty, don't we? There was a real estate agent who had a house to sell. And he, like the real estate agents in our congregation, was an honest one. He said to them, "This house has advantages and disadvantages." Let's see if I can bring it up. And to show you how honest I am, I'll tell you both. So the disadvantage is, there is to the south a chemical plant a block away. And there is to the north a slaughterhouse a block away. And the prospective buyer said, "Well, what are the advantages?" He says, "You always know which way the wind is blowing." We like honesty. So how is it that this dishonest steward is commended? In the history of its interpretation, people have not looked at this parable very much. They have disliked it intensely. There are not many artistic representations of it. I'll go back. This is one of the few I could find. There are some who, throughout Christian history, have said Jesus actually didn't say this parable. Someone put this in when no one was looking, and we can ignore it. The Roman Emperor Julian the Apostate, in the 4th century, tried to return the Roman Empire to pagan worship. And he used this parable as one of the main arguments. He said, "How could you regard a Messiah who told this kind of story? How could we regard such a Messiah? What kind of story is this? And what kind of gift can it possibly give to us in our daily living?" Well, let's look at this parable and try to understand what's going on here. I think we can start by stating the obvious, and that is that Jesus is not commending dishonesty, is not commending theft, and is not commending exploitation. We know from his life in the Gospels, we know from that personality which leaps off the page and into our lives and hearts, that this is not Jesus who died on the cross and rose from the dead. But what is being commended here? It's important. There's a clue embedded in this text that we have to begin with, I think, and it's important to note that Luke likes to do his parables in series, which help to interpret what's going on here. Last week, Carrie preached on a threefold series of parables on lostness. You had the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And in those triplets, the middle parable is always the interpretive key. And in that series, you had the lost coin, where a woman is portrayed as God's commitment to search for us, an incredible, revolutionary way of thinking in that time and place, that a woman would be put in that role to represent the divine. Well, the parables that we are given today also run in a series. They overlap with the parables of lostness, but these are parables of waking up. You have the parable of the prodigal son, you have the parable of the dishonest steward, and you have the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in a quick series. They overlap with the notions of wealth and of squandering. In the parable of the prodigal son squanders his inheritance. In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, he has a poor man lying at his gates, and yet he squanders his wealth on himself and does not wake up to his responsibility for his neighbors. And here at the center, they are three parables unique to the Gospel of Luke, and at their center is this parable of the dishonest steward. So what is going on here? I'm going to skip through. There is the parable of the prodigal son, according to Rembrandt. There are lots of artistic renditions of that one. Here's the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, poor Lazarus having his wounds licked by the dogs. There are lots of artistic representations of this one. I have to tell real estate jokes for the parable of the dishonest steward. And there he is. So we know that he has been fudging the books of his master, and his master has told about it, and he doesn't like his property being squandered. But the steward enters into a kind of internal dialogue with himself, not dissimilar to the internal dialogue that the prodigal son has. He thinks to himself, "Oh no, I can see the writing on the wall. I know what is about to happen. How shall I then act in the face of this new reality?" And so he calls his master's debtors, and he writes down their debts. We don't know why he gave the one who owed the olive oil a bigger discount than the one who owed the wheat. But what he was doing was incurring their indebtedness so that they would owe him when he lost his job. And his master, who was probably someone who knew his fair share of wheeling and dealing, though to tell the truth, we don't know much about this person, but he observed how shrewdly his dishonest steward had acted, and he complimented him. "You know, I have to give you credit. You knew what was going to happen to you, and you acted. They didn't have EI in those days. You acted shrewdly." Now, the word shrewdly, phrenissimus, actually also means thoughtfully, with wisdom. And the word it comes from, phrenos, means diaphragm. You have to remember, in those days, people didn't think with their minds. They didn't have our physiological understanding of the way our bodies worked. You thought with your gut, your entrails. We still have gut feelings. And he says, "You acted wisely. You felt what was coming, and thoughtfully you prepared for yourself." So in many ways, this dishonest manager acted in a very similar way to what we've been told by our youth this past Friday. I don't know if you followed in the news. It was a really incredible day when the youth of our world got out and continued the strike of Greta Thunberg for climate change. Every Friday for some time now, Greta, beginning in Sweden, now shifting to the United States, has been out in protest. And on Friday, the youth of the world joined her. And this is a map of every place in our world where Our teenagers, our elementary school kids left their classes and went somewhere to march against climate change and the inaction of our governments. Kerry's going to be out next Friday, and you're welcome to join him at Queen's Park. But whatever you think of this movement, you have to be in awe of the fact it has united the youth of our world. In this city, so many of our youth are united by gangs and violence. They learn manhood by being tough guys and shooting one another. Kind of refreshing, isn't it, when they gather for the purposes of peace and to care for our environment?
Climate justice!
Across America,
we have to change the world.
And around the world,
the wind, do you want it?
No! Millions walked out of classrooms today demanding action on the climate.
Climate change is real.
All following the lead of a shy Swedish teenager.
We will do everything in our power to stop this crisis from getting worse.
16-year-old
Greta Thunberg. Now, Greta has Asperger's. She was a shy and retiring teenager, didn't socialize very much. In fact, she had almost no friends. She struggled with depression. But her Asperger's, in one way, was a gift to her because it gave her a narrow focus that others of her generation and our generation did not have, and climate change gripped her life. And out of that gift, she is binding the youth of our world. For her, what she saw was similar to what the dishonest steward saw. The end is coming. She said this in Davos, Switzerland in January. She said, I often hear adults say, we need to give the next generation hope. I don't want your hope. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I do every day. And I want you to act. I want you to behave like our house is on fire. Because it is. Now, if your house is on fire, it's good to act shrewdly, isn't it? Sadly, I don't know if we will. For heaven's sake, we've watched the gun violence, the shootings in schools in the United States, the shootings in public places, people with automatic weapons that are of no use to anyone except for killing people. And yet after years of this, they still do nothing about banning automatic weapons there. Every day there is a mass shooting. We don't act very thoughtfully. We don't act very shrewdly. And yet this parable is telling us the word of God. When you look upon the world, when you look upon your life, when you look upon the reality you are facing, it is time to act accordingly. Act shrewdly. Even the dishonest manager is commended. How much more those who act in accordance with the light and the love of God? Because that too is the reality of our time and place. The resurrection has happened. We have a different reality in our midst. It's time to act thoughtfully. This past Friday night, I spent the evening in a hotel room. Sorry, a hospital room. With an 82-year-old man who was dying of cancer. His family was with him, and I listened to them while they talked about the devastation that this diagnosis had wrought in their lives. It is a rare and aggressive form of bone cancer. They hope and pray for a miracle. They struggle with their new reality. And after I listened to the world in which they had suddenly been thrown, this 82-year-old man gathered his strength together, and he spoke in a clear voice. He says, "I do not know what the future holds for me, but I do know God's love. And I do love and give my thanks to Kingsway Lambton and what it has done in the course of my life and in giving me an awareness of that love. I want to say now how proud I am of my son and how much I love him. The struggles he has had to go through in his life, what he deals with in having a child with autism and a wife who has been battling cancer herself, and how he has supported me and given me hope and strength through this time. He is the greatest son I could have ever desired, and I am proud of him and I love him." I was humbled to be there. That speech exhausted him, but it was acting shrewdly in the light of what he was facing. He did not know, and he would not give up hope that there would be a miracle, but he knew the cancer that was eating away at his body. And he did not deny himself the opportunity to speak his love to his family. I pray that we would all act with such thoughtfulness, such wisdom in the face of the realities that face us. Whether it be climate change, whether it be gun violence, whether it be the poverty of those who, for want of our investment in their education and future, will enter a new era of despair, or whether it be our own mortality. I don't want you to panic. I want you to have hope. And I want you to act. Act in the certainty and security of the love of God which holds you. Act in the certainty and security of the God who has acted for you. I want you to act because the day has come. I don't want you to panic. I want you to have hope. And I want you to live into that hope, because the day has come and you don't want to waste a moment of it. Let us pray. O gracious God, help us to look upon the reality of this world and your love, and to act with shrewdness. In Jesus' name, amen.